Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode all throughout the call. This call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this point. Now, I will turn the meeting over to your host, Markee Flannery. Markee, you may begin.
Thank you very much. Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining me on the call today. I'm sure you're all looking forward to the long Labor Day weekend, just as I am. I know how hard everyone's been working, and I really hope that you'll take some time this weekend to step back mentally from your work responsibilities and relax and enjoy yourselves with your family and friends. With the many challenges that we've been facing over the past 6 months, setting aside some time to refresh and recharge is essential for all of us. So I hope you'll have a chance to do that. As of yesterday, New York State has had 24 straight days in which the statewide COVID-19 positive testing rate has been below 1%. Governor Cuomo's office also reported yesterday that hospitalizations for COVID-19 across the state have dropped to 418, a new low since March 16th, and that there was just one COVID-19 death in New York State on Sunday, with no death in New York City, another new low. Thank you to everyone on this call for your role in helping to keep these numbers down. As always, I want to encourage you to continue working to keep that COVID-19 curve flat by social distancing, washing your hands, and wearing those face masks. As I previously mentioned, we are making a special push to make sure that our entire staff gets vaccinated against the flu this year. Starting today, vouchers for flu shots at CVS and Walgreens Duane Reade are now available on the VNSNY intranet. You'll be getting details shortly on exactly how you can access these vouchers. We're continuing to maintain our patient and member volumes at levels close to where they were before COVID-19 hit our area. So thank you to everyone for helping to make that happen. I won't go through the census numbers for each unit this week, except that they're very similar to last week. But I do want to announce that the VNSNY Choice Managed Long-Term Care Health Plan, which we abbreviate VNS Choice MLTC, enrolled 750 new members for September. Choice MLTC has had very strong enrollment figures throughout 2020, but this represents their best enrollment month of the year. So congratulations to everyone at VNSNY Choice on this excellent performance. In other important news related to our business, 5 U.S. senators, including Senator Kirsten Gillibrand of New York, sent a letter to CMS and the Federal Department of Health and Human Services last week, asking them to ensure that home health care organizations like VNSNY get the resources that they need to protect their community during COVID-19. This includes making sure we have access to COVID-19 relief funding and sufficient PPE for our staff, and very importantly for VNSNY, that they provide more flexibility in allowing us to be reimbursed for telehealth visits. Senator Gillibrand also sent out a press release along with her letter in which I was quoted, stating how important these issues are for keeping our staff and patients safe. This indicates that VNSNY is clearly a priority for the senator, which hopefully will help produce a positive response from CMS. Closer to home, I also want to mention that our VNSNY office in Westchester moved last week to a new location about a mile from where it had been. There's going to be an article in Frontline very soon that will have more details about the new office. Also, staff who have one or more children under the age of 18 living with them have until this Friday to complete the Willis Towers Watson survey about their child care situation. This survey is your chance to tell us what your own childcare needs will be this fall as schools reopen. Your answers and comments will be a big help in figuring out the best way to balance everyone's work and home life responsibilities. So if you have a child and you haven't completed the survey yet, please watch for an email this week from Willers Towers Watson in your inbox, which will link to the survey. I'm also very excited to note that so far, over 900 Partners in Care home health aides have completed the home health aide survey being conducted by the VNSNY Research Center. These survey results are going to provide valuable insights into how the healthcare industry can do a better job of supporting home health aides nationwide. So thank you very much to all of the home health aides who have participated so far. And to any aides who are on this call, please consider completing the survey if you haven't yet. And please encourage your fellow home health aides to do the same. As added motivation, completing the survey also qualifies you for a chance at a $25 gift card. The Research Center and Partners in Care are sending out another email reminder today with a link to the survey. So again, I hope all of the aides on this call will keep an eye out for that. In another step that we hope will make everyone's work-life balance better, we're also putting out new guidelines for scheduling meetings, which include keeping all meetings to just 20 minutes or 45 minutes wherever possible, and not scheduling meetings too early or too late in the day. And you'll be receiving an Operation Workplace email shortly that will spell out the exact guidelines. So please watch out for that email as well. This week, as usual, there were two support calls for our home health aides. One that took place earlier today, and the second one at 1 p.m. on Thursday. We're also holding our all-staff support call on Thursday at 10:15 in the morning, and the next support call for staff recovering from COVID-19 will take place a week from now on Tuesday, September 8th at 4:30 p.m. And for staff members interested in joining our parents' support call on Thursday, there's an email contact on the COVID-19 support calls page on the VNSNY intranet that you can reach out to. So that includes my update. I will now turn to the questions that were sent in advance by email. So the first question. How many staff have resigned or retired early since the pandemic started, or have gone out on disability related to COVID? So I don't have the specific detail on the number of staff who retired or early or resigned because of the pandemic or disability related to COVID. But what I do have is data on overall on our turnover rates, and our turnover rates have gone down since the pandemic began. So that's positive news. We're finding more people have actually stayed with the organization. Andrea, anything you want to add to that? Is that your experience as well?
Yes, Marky. Hi, good afternoon, everyone. This is Andrea Castellanos. I'm the Chief of Provider Services. And we have actually seen a stabilizing in the workforce during the COVID pandemic, and our rates of people staying with the organization have actually increased, and our rates of people leaving the organization have actually decreased when we compare ourselves to the same period last year in 2019. Thank you, Marky.
Thank you. So next question. Staff have been receiving bills for COVID testing that they need to do in order to service patients in assisted living facilities. Assisted living facilities require weekly testing for all of our staff that is providing service to their patients. Can we please let them know how to address the bills that the staff is receiving? Insurance will not cover weekly testing. So, Andrea, I think you mentioned that you've heard this before. Can you add to this?
Yes, Marky. So, my understanding is that that is true, that's correct, that insurance will not cover weekly testing that's required for regulatory purpose. Testing that is done because you have a symptom of COVID should be covered by insurance. So if you do get a bill, you can call our helpline, Marky. Is that correct? And
I think reaching out to Human Resources, and maybe we'll have Marion follow up with people when she returns next week on this.
Yes.
Yeah, because I think we should follow up from HR can follow up and provide some guidance to the staff.
Right. That's correct.
Yes. All right. Thank you so much. So next question. If there is a second wave of COVID and the flu causing a shortage of field staff, will there be layoffs for the office staff again? So first, we're hoping that if everyone gets a flu shot like we're asking them to do, the flu will not get in the way of staff getting sick and creating any shortages of staff. If there is a second wave of COVID, which we're hoping there won't be, we can't predict now what that will do on related to our volumes in terms of our staff who may not be available to work, in terms of our volume of referrals to the organization. We're hopeful. Well, so first of all, we have had no staff layoffs. We had some furloughs, which is different than a layoff. And we are hopeful that we will not have to incur additional furloughs. But until we know more about whether or not there is a wave and the impact of it, it's very hard to predict that at this point. Next question. Thank you for this medium of communication. My question is, due to recent uptake in admissions, for an employee who currently receives the car allowance, if asked to assist in another borough, can an employee be reimbursed for additional toll expenses incurred? I wasn't aware that this was happening, and I appreciate staff who are covering multiple boroughs at this time. Andrea, do you know anything about this?
I don't, Marky. We can take this back and get an answer to how we will administer that request going forward. So let us take that back and take a look at it.
Okay. We know who the person is that sent the question in, so we can address it for them in particular. But, of course, if there are others with similar issues, we would do the same for them. So Marion Haas, who is the head of our Human Resources Department, is out on vacation this week. She's back on Tuesday, and she could provide us with some guidance and support on that as well. So next question. As you may know, the school system is only offering a hybrid option. Do you have any assistance options for childcare services in Westchester? I have to pay for 3 kids to go to daycare now since they only go to school 2 days a week. Is VNSNY able to help their Westchester field staff with this added expense? So I would love to say we can do more, but we're not in a position to start paying for daycare services for our staff. As you know, as an organization, we've had some financial challenges for a number of years, and we are working really hard to stabilize our organization from a financial standpoint, and we have incurred some significant expenses this year and reduction in volume. So we're not able to take on the expense of paying for childcare or daycare for staff. If we do hear of options that are available in the community, we will absolutely share them with you. Anyone have anything they'd like to add to that? Next question. I have coworkers on other teams complaining that they don't have enough cases for the day, while my team doesn't have enough RNs to work. We have at least 10 cases to cover for the day, which is overwhelming. Why can't the RNs or others float like they did in the past? So, Andrea, I'm going to ask if you can address this question.
Sure, Marky. So I know that the teams work really hard to move staff around to cover all the cases. And sometimes this does and will require staff to float to other areas. There's every effort is really made to balance the daily schedule to ensure we have coverage for all of our patients. But I would say that if you are particularly and specifically have a concern, meaning this happens over and over and over again, you should reach out not only to your manager if you're not getting an appropriate response, but I know that the regional vice presidents would be interested in hearing about this, and you should feel free to reach out to your regional vice presidents so they can help your manager figure out a better system for balancing the schedule. Thank you, Marky.
Thank you. So next question. Now that the CDC has shown that they are not making decisions based on science after last week's decision on who should get a COVID test, is VNSNY still going to be taking their guidance going forward, or will VNSNY be seeking other sources? So, Tony, can you provide your thoughts on this?
Sure. This is Tony Dawson, Vice President for Quality and Customer Experience. So we don't just base our protocols on the CDC. We also base it on the Department of Health, which gives us guidance, CDC and FDA and others. And we work with a team of physicians from infection control and our infection control nurse practitioner, who also gives us research data and other data that we look at with regard to how we develop our protocols and how we develop how and when we see our patients. So it's not just based on the CDC. But great question. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question. What is the amount of COVID positive patients now under VNSNY, not history? So I believe the number is probably a couple of hundred over between hospice, home care, and partners in care. I don't know if any of my colleagues think that that number is about right, and if I'm not right, please correct me.
Marky, the question might be today, the
yes.
amount of COVID
yes.
patients now under VNSNY. So if the question is how many of our employees have COVID right now,
not employees,
today,
patients. How many number
oh,
of patients?
Oh, patients.
Under,
okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I read it wrong.
Yeah. And I think it's a few hundred. You know, last
it's
week
probably,
it was probably.
Yeah, it's probably a couple of hundred at this point. We can get that exact number, but it is going down every week. And we are getting very few COVID positive patients referred to us at this point, but we can get the exact number.
Thank you. There's someone who was disconnected. I'm sorry that they got disconnected. Hopefully they're able to get back in. But the question, okay, yeah, so unfortunately I can't do anything. Next question. Thank you for these conference calls. What is the status of staff going back to 510 Plaza? Michael, would you like to take this question?
Yes, I'd be happy to. It's Michael Bernstein, Chief Administrative Officer. But just before I do, as of last week, with respect to the prior question, between home care and Care 360 Solutions, we were caring for less than 130 confirmed COVID-19 patients at that point in time. So I think the answer that Marky provided and Andrea supplemented is accurate, less than 200 for sure at this period of time. With respect to 510 Plaza and our real estate, as we said all along, we wanted to understand how things would work out with the volunteers and the other people who were asked to come back to 220. We were going to give that 4 weeks. It's been a little over 4 weeks, and we are very pleased with what has happened at 220 and still learning about certain things. What we're going to do is look at the spaces we have for community mental health services, because many of those grant-funded programs have an obligation to see individuals in person. And the Department of Health, the City of New York, would like us to know what our plans might be in order to do that And because we have multiple spaces, we are taking a look with some experts, including architects, about configuring those spaces. And as soon as we accomplish that task, we will be looking at both the 5 Penn location and our Brooklyn office as sort of next in line. So the short answer to the question is we do not yet have a timeline for offering the opportunity for anyone to come back to 5 Penn. If you are someone who would like to have an office space to work because your remote work situation is not something that you remain comfortable with, we do have a number of processes that would allow you to get space at 220 if that worked for you, including something we call desk for a day, but also other ways for you to find office space if connectivity is an issue for you or if that's something you'd like to do. You can find all that information on the Operation Workplace tile on the VNSNY intranet. Thanks, Marky.
Thank you. So that was the last of the questions that we received for this afternoon's calls. So if I'll give a moment. If anyone has a question they'd like to send, we'll be able to address it. Otherwise, we will end the call early. And again, I will wish you all a safe and healthy weekend and look forward to connecting with you again on Tuesday. But I'll give you a moment in case you're feverishly typing a message in. There you go. Patient used to be positive COVID 2 months ago, turned to negative. This time the patient came back to VNSNY again with no information. That's the only information that's on this message. So if you type in the header line, it gets cut off. So I'm not sure if there's more to this.
Excuse me, but it's Michael. And so the question, which is probably for our Tony, is the patient came back again to VNSNY again with no information of COVID status. And the question is, should I follow protocol A?
Oh, I don't see that, but okay. Thank you. So, Tony, can you address that?
Sure. So if the patient came back on service and is now COVID, if we don't know about the COVID status of the patient, we should follow A for the time being, but we should check what that COVID status is. So even though the patient may have been COVID positive in the past, they could get readmitted to the hospital and then get discharged, but they're still COVID negative. So I would follow A just to be on the safe side, but we should try and find out from the physician what the status of that patient is and then follow the appropriate protocol.
It does say, Tony, that the patient turned negative.
Okay. So if the patient is negative, then we can follow protocol B.
Yeah. So the patient was positive 2 months ago. The patient turned negative. The patient came back. And so the question, it's hard to read because it's cut off.
Well, the patient came back and the status is unknown.
Should I follow? Yeah. Should I follow protocol A or B?
Yeah. So if the status is unknown, follow protocol A until you have further information on the patient. That's the safest thing for the patient and for the staff.
Great.
Until you know more. That's the safest
thing
to do. Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. And you can always call the CERT team if you have a question so that you can get an answer immediately on these types of questions. So that you know. Okay, so that's it for questions. Again, thanks, everyone, and we'll be speaking again next Tuesday. Enjoy the holiday weekend. Thank you.